This time we're going to have our morning scripture reading. If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to be reading verses 16 through 20. The very end of the chapter, the very end of the book of Matthew. Beginning our reading at verse 16, Matthew records this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, and I want to kind of begin our thought processes here this morning by asking the question of why do we exist? Not why do we as individuals exist? We know what that is. We exist because in God's mind and in God's heart, He determined that He would have a people, and He would have a people that would have the opportunity to choose to love Him, to choose to serve Him, that He would give them the opportunity to have eternal life and to be able to be in His presence forever in a place that would be filled with glory, in a place that would be filled with praise, in a place that would be filled with hope and with joy forevermore. We know that that's why man was created. Man was not a happenstance type of a thing. Man did not stand on his feet after crawling out of the slime and becoming some type of a different creature like so many want to promote and so many want to present. We know that God lovingly formed man from the dust of the ground, that God breathed life into the chest of man, that He is the one who has created all life. We know why we exist. Now my question is, why does the church exist? And in fact, why does this local congregation exist? Are we here just simply to meet once a week? Are we here just simply to gather together and to sing some songs, to say a couple of prayers, to listen to some madman rant, and then to walk out the doors and go about our daily lives? Is that why we exist? Or does God have a higher calling for us? Does He have a higher purpose for us? Does He have something else in mind? And I want to suggest to you that He does have something else in mind, and that we exist to be able to bring glory to Him and to bring souls to Him and to be able to present to Him a fuller kingdom than He would have if we didn't exist. God has placed us here in this time and in this moment to be a light. To be a light to this community. To reach out to those who don't know Jesus Christ. To be a fruitful congregation to show the way to God. That's why we exist. Last week, I shared with you what I believe to be the vision of God for our church in this coming year in the realm of discipleship. And folks, it is a formidable task that God is putting before us. But it is a task that is just simply reiterated by what Jesus Christ declared in this 28th chapter of Matthew in verses 19 and 20, and I want us to revisit those two verses. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. After Jesus has declared that he is the authoritative one and that all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth, he says this, "Go." Wow. Go. In that one word, he describes that we are not to stay, that we are not to sit, but we are to go, to be active and involved. He says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that right now our hearts and our minds would be open to you and receptive to your word. Father, we pray right now that as a congregation, that we would willingly step forward and accept the task that you have privileged us with. And that we would not back down because the enemy stands up, but instead we would roll him over through your authority, because all authority has been given to you in heaven and in earth. And that you can't be defeated. And so, Father, we pray that we might be a people who develops the confidence in you to know that with you all things are possible. And since you have called us to be a church, that we would be the church that you would desire us to be. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits, that we might fulfill your call. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. Out of this passage of Scripture, these two verses, I want to share with you this morning four things. I want to share with you that we exist, number one, to go, number two, to make, number three, to teach, and number four, to remember. And if we will take these four areas and commit ourselves as individuals to following through, God will do amazing things in us. He will do amazing things for us. He will do amazing things through us, and He'll do amazing things in this community that He has established us to be lights in. So let's look at these four areas. The very first thing that Jesus says is to go. Folks, if the only going you do is going to church, you're not fulfilling what God wants for your personal life. Don't get me wrong, we're thrilled you're here. Don't get me wrong, we're happy to be able to share, because we know that whenever God's people gather together, whenever we come in this type of a situation and the Holy Spirit begins to move, He begins to change the heart. And if our whole concept of God is going to church, our heart needs changed. And so it is God Himself then who can, in these types of settings, can change us so that we become what God calls us to be. You remember, Jesus was talking and He talked to the crowds. He's on the hillside and He's talking to the crowds and He's talking about the fact that their lamps need to burn bright. And in the burning bright of their lamps, He didn't mean to close the shades. But unfortunately, we have too many shade-closed Christians in our world today. Because as the church, we have given up the promised land. We have submitted to everything that this world throws at us as they continually try to push us into a corner or into a closet and make us closet Christians so that we are not aggressive. And we have sounded the trumpet of retreat. And I'm going to tell you, the reason that abortion is the issue it is because the church has sounded the trumpet of retreat. The reason that the church has come under the call of bigots is because we have sounded the retreat and not stood up, and we have allowed the social disgraces of this nation to take over. It's time for the church to recapture the passion that God created us for, to recapture the purpose of why we exist. We do not exist to meet once a week on Sunday mornings and call it good. We have been called to go. Now, what does that call mean for you individually? What does that call mean for me as an individual? It's going to be wrapped up tight in what His will is. Some of you here this morning might be called to go to a mission field somewhere and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news. Some of you may be called here this morning just to go into your places of work and your places of business and to be a witness and to be a testimony and to even reach out to those who are lost and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you here today might be called to be the stalwart individual in your family, perhaps that initial individual in your family, to make a difference in your family's life for Jesus Christ. But that overall is what builds the church. And I'm not speaking our congregation, I'm speaking the church. Someone here today may be called into full-time pastoral ministry, and that may be their form of going. We have seen that kind of thing in this congregation several times. But God is calling us to go. We have a couple of dogs. And by the way, they're part of our family. And they're a lot of fun. But man, are they stubborn. And they are a little obstinate. One of them is called Toby. Toby is a high energy type of a dog. And when you give him the command to sit, he sits, but he shakes. When can I break out of this sitting? I need to run. I need to jump. I need to do this. I need to do that. Lucy, you don't have to command to sit. She sits all the time. Lucy, you have to try to command to go. And then you hook a thing on her collar and you drag her along. They're just created differently. But I'll tell you what, they are stubborn. And, you know, in the modern day church, we're like Toby's and Lucy's. When God gives us a command, we get a little antsy sometimes. Or when we get a command, we adopt that favorite song, I Shall Not Be Moved. But Jesus Christ has told us our purpose. And our purpose is not to sit and stay, our purpose is to go. And he even gives us direction of where we need to go. Are you willing to go at God's command? Secondly, I want you to notice that there's a purpose in that going. And it's brought out, and this is an interesting thing. This is the only mandate in the Greek. In the Greek, literally, the word go is an assumption. And in the Greek, this verse literally reads, in your going. In your going. And so Jesus is looking at these folks before he ascends back to his Father, and he is just assuming, you guys are going to carry on the work that has begun here. You guys are going to be going. And so go. You've got my blessing. Go. And then here's the command, go, therefore, and make disciples. You see, there's the command. Go is the assumption. Make disciples is the command. That's the imperative in this verse. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Don't be a sitter and stayer. Don't be stubborn and say, I shall not be moved. But go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. In every nation, in every city, in every town, in every neighborhood, in every place of business, in every place we go, we are commanded to make disciples. Making disciples means this. Number one, we must win them. All right, we're not going to make disciples out of unsaved individuals. And so what do we need to do? We need to win them to Jesus Christ. Now, God does the saving. We've already talked about that. He is the one who ultimately does the saving, but we are the ones who present God to them. That's our privilege. That's our role. That's a part of our command. And that's a part of the assumption in going. If we're going to make disciples, we must first of all be involved in that winning process of bringing people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. All right? And then once that's done, then we have to disciple them or teach them, train them, so that they understand what God is really looking for in our spiritual lives. God is looking for the church to raise up followers of Him who are going to represent Him in this world and are going to be a part of that great flood that goes and makes more disciples. You know what, folks? We are here today because of the faithfulness of those who have come before us. And it's kind of tragic to me when churches make the decision, we don't need the past. We don't need to remember the history and the sacrifices of all of those who have come before us. We can forget that because God is just the God of today. Well, I'll tell you what, God isn't just the God of today. God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is the God of eternity. And so we need to remember where we've come from and realize where God wants us to go. Let's not forget the sacrifices that people have made in order for us to be able to have a place where we can still capture the passion of God. A place where we can still learn and grow in our faith. A place where we can still accomplish the plan of God, because I'm going to tell you what, we've got generations coming up, should the Lord tarry. We've got generations coming up that are going to need good examples to follow. And that's important. You and I exist because of the faithfulness of those who stood on that mountain and listened to Jesus as he said, go. And they went. If you want to read about how they went, go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts gives you how the church was formed, how it began, how it became more and more organized, how it became more and more orderly, and how it became evangelistic, how it became equipping and training, and how everything was accomplished so that they could send out more people, and as more people would be sent out and go, the gospel would spread to other areas and other regions. They paid attention to what Jesus told them. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to pay attention to what Jesus has told us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Train, equip, build, so that the kingdom can grow. We have a massive task in front of us, but we don't have to do it alone, because the same call goes to every church. And if every church would take seriously their call to go and not retreat, if every church would take seriously their call to share and not to huddle, if every church would take seriously what God has placed before them in command form, this nation could be won to Jesus Christ in very short order. And in this nation being won to Jesus Christ, we would be able to reach out more into this world where the gospel of Jesus Christ is a dirty word. We must be faithful to the task that God is calling us to. Go and make disciples. Teach them, train them, equip them, win them. That's what we're supposed to do as a church. Let's not back up. Number three. Notice the beginning of that 20th verse. Jesus says, teaching them to observe some of the stuff that I commanded you. Is that what your Bible says? If it is, it ain't a right. Because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. All that I have commanded you. Do you know what Jesus has commanded of us? That we follow him without reservation in holiness. That we follow him without reservation, seeking daily a deeper and deeper relationship with him. And in teaching others, we are to teach them of the importance of daily seeking his wisdom, his presence, his direction, and then faithfully following through on that. And folks, if we'll do that daily, God will honor and he will bless. Jesus is sitting with his disciples. They're kind of looking stuff over, and he's looking at the wheat fields. And he says, look, see these wheat fields? That's kind of like the earth. That's the harvest field. Where are the laborers? Where are those who will go? Where are those who will train, teach, and equip? Where are those who will live faithfully and obediently before me and make a difference? Where are the harvesters? Where are the called? For there are many called. Folks, I'm going to tell you, in this modern day church, there are few who go. In the United States of America, we as the church have become so soft that church has become a duty and it's not become a privilege. Church has become a fellowship, but not an army. Church has become a social organization, but not a service organization. Serving the Lord and reaching out to the lost. You see, we need to teach everything that Jesus commanded. And not just teach the principles, but teach them to obey the principles. Teaching them to obey whatsoever I have commanded you. Everything I have commanded you. Number four. We need to remember. And here's what we need to remember. The end of verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know what we're to remember? That Jesus Christ is with us everywhere we go. In everything that we do. He is with us in every reach of life. When you go to that neighbor who is lost, when you go to that drug addict who is lost, when you go to that person who is morally lost, when you go to that person who is just kind of the good person, but they don't know Jesus Christ, you need to remember that you don't go alone. And the words, I can't, should not escape the lips of the believer. But the words, I can do all things through Christ. I can, should be the cry of the believer. Because we need to remember, first of all, God is not going to call us to do something that He's not willing to equip us to do. Secondly, God is not going to call us and send us out alone. But Jesus has promised He'll go with us. So where are you at? As we focus this coming year on winning the lost to Jesus Christ, on training them and teaching them to know Him and to love Him and to understand Him better. As we equip them with everything that they need to live victorious, vibrant Christian lives, where are you at? Are you willing to be a part of the process, or do you just want to be a pew sitter? What's God asking of you today? Would you please stand? We're going to have a word of prayer. Matt's going to come and lead us in a benediction in a moment. But I want you to know that if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I really sense that the Lord is directing me to somehow become involved in His kingdom's work, I want you to know that even during this prayer, this altar's open. You come, just give it to Him. No one's going to pressure you. No one's going to do any type of thing. It's just time with you and the Lord. I'm going to ask the Pastor Parish Committee to, we're going to move our meeting to this evening after the service. So I'm going to ask you to please respect that. And we're going to, as I stated, going to close in a word of prayer. And if God is speaking, you step out and you come. Don't push Him off. He didn't push off the cross because it would have been more convenient some other day. He went. Because of His faithfulness, we have life. So if God is asking you today to surrender your will to His, we invite you to come. So let's close in a word of prayer. And then after the benediction, if you must leave, I'm going to ask you to leave very quietly and very reverently, as these are here at the altar doing serious business with God. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word. And Lord, I thank You for these who have come forward today, and I pray that You would meet them right where they're at, that You would fill them with a clarity of Your call, and that as they involve themselves in Your harvest field, Father, may there be much fruit given to them. Now, Lord, please guide us and direct us, and we'll give You thanks and praise, for it's in Your awesome and incredible name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.